Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Slava Ra. And Slava is going to primary Congressman Paul Tonko. I think that'll be a very interesting race. So, Slava, when did you decide to run for Congress? And you live in Albany, right?
Hi, Cynthia. Yes, I live in Albany. But first, let me say that I'm really excited to be on your show. I'm a listener, and you have wonderful material that you make for the Capital Region. I really appreciate the local focus. I decided to run against Paul Tonko. It's been over a year ago. A lot of it was motivated back when Trump was still in office by some of the really terrible decisions that Trump, but our government as a whole, was making, especially in battling the COVID pandemic. And I, you know, looking at the mess at our highest levels of government, I wanted to have an impact. But unfortunately, you know, for young people coming out of college or law school, a lot of times the way our system is created, it's very difficult to have an impact in government. So I wanted to put myself out there because I felt like I didn't have anything to lose. I still feel that way. And give it a shot and see whether a young person like myself who sees a lot going on that they want to change can actually have a shot running for office.
Now, if I remember correctly, when we talked about setting up this interview, you're a graduate of law school, right?
Yes. I went to my undergrad school here in the Capital Region at SUNY Albany. I went to high school in Niskayuna, and then I worked in the state legislature for 6 years after that, doing both legislative work and community work. The community work I did was in Brooklyn because I was working for a legislator out in Brooklyn. And after 6 years of doing that, I decided to go to law school. The law school I went to was NYU in Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
And so after graduating from NYU, I looked at my options. I was $250,000 in debt. When you have that kind of crushing debt on you, especially when it's, you know, a 6% interest rate on top of that, your choices are pretty limited. If you're the average law school graduate, you're going to say, well, I have to pay off this debt, because you can't even forgive it in bankruptcy usually. So you say, I have to go and do corporate law. But that means that all these really talented students are going into corporate law. And sorry, my throat hurts. And they're not participating in our political system, so I wanted to change that.
$250,000, that's incredible. You know, when I was your age, there used to be a thing called upward mobility. Upward mobility is no longer the case. People go to college, they incur debt, and they have... they're dealing with that for the rest of their lives. And, you know, you're going to be primary Paul Tonko, and he's a Democrat. So in Congress, I mean, as far as the Democrats are concerned, Joe Biden is no friend of people with student loan debt. How do you feel about that?
Oh, my gosh. Well, first of all, you know, student loan debt started, I believe, with Nixon, who specifically implemented student loans in order to stop people from protesting the Vietnam War. He said, let's show, like, these student protesters, let's show them, you know, that they shouldn't be protesting wars.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it's very purposeful. It's not just an accident.
Now, who is the one that orchestrated this?
I think it was Nixon, but I mean, Biden participated in as well.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, Biden voted to make student loans very difficult to forgive in bankruptcy, for example.
Right, exactly. So I'm sure that you've been following Paul Tanco's career in Congress. What made you decide to run for Congress, and what made you decide that Paul Tanco does not fit the bill for the Capital Region?
Yeah, so, well, first of all, I think I might have mentioned this before, nobody's ever ran against Paul Tanco in a primary for the 13 years that he was in Congress. So a lot of the issues that, you know, I want to bring up in this campaign, nobody's ever brought them up before. So one of the issues, for example, is the environment. So he's the chair of the subcommittee on the environment, which is the most powerful position if you want to make an environmental difference, if you want to prevent global warming, then you are in the key position if you're the chair of the subcommittee on the environment. You have to be a nationwide leader on these issues. And, I mean, I just don't see Paul Tanco leading at all on stopping global warming. He doesn't support the Green New Deal, so he doesn't support zero emissions by 2030. He wants it to be 2050. So that's a major area where we disagree. I mean, I understand that it's not just saying, oh, well, I want it to be 2030. It's also how do we get there? So that discussion about the green economy is one that I want to be a part of. But we have to start with the understanding that science tells us that 2030 is the year we have to get to zero emissions. It's not 2050. And so everything we do has to be done with that goal in mind. So that's, I think, the biggest area where I really want to challenge Paul Tanco and the way he approaches governing. Because let's face it, if you live in the Capital Region and you're a voter here, you're in a unique position, right? Because you see how global warming and climate change is affecting the entire world. But if you live in Albany, if you live in the Capital Region, in any of the towns and cities here, you can make a real difference policy, not just for the country, but for the entire world. But people don't really know it, and nobody has ever run against him as a Democratic challenger in the primary. So he's never had to face someone who's more liberal on the environment, more progressive on the environment than he is.
You know, I've been watching and doing interviews on Albany politics for a number of years, and the people that are in power are so entrenched that it's hard to break in and be a new face and come up with new ideas, whether you're talking on the city level, county level, or even for Congress. How are you going to tackle that? How are you going to tackle the fact that there's such entrenchment in the Capital District?
Yeah. So the entrenchment, it goes really deep, right? I was recently at a meeting, at a Working Families Party meeting, and we were talking about the executive. So a lot of council members complained, oh, you know, the executive doesn't respect us. They don't do this. They don't do that. And then I asked, well, why are you keep talking about the executive? Just say her name, Kathy Sheehan. and they were like, oh, well, okay, yeah, Kathy Sheehan, but like, but really the executive. And I said, well, last time I checked, nobody ran a progressive campaign against Kathy Sheehan in the last election. She didn't have a progressive opponent. And they said, oh, well, we could never run against Kathy Sheehan because we could never have the money to run. So we wouldn't even have a chance of winning. So it's this kind of self-fulfilling prophecy where young or, you know, maybe not always young, but just different kind of politicians who are city council members or county members, they just feel like, well, and it's true, if they run against an entrenched politician at the top of the ticket, then they're going to lose their own position, and they might lose everything they have. I've had these conversations where I had council members say the same thing about Paul Panko. You know, they're so unhappy, for example, with how he distributes money around the Kikoa region. They feel like Albany never gets its fair share of capital funding. And they're like, and so I'm like, well, if you feel that way, why don't you run against Paul Tonko? And they're like, well, if we run against Paul Tonko, we'll lose everything, you know? And it that kind of comment, like, opens up your eyes to the entrenchment. It's the combination of money and, you know, I'm running against Paul Tonko. He has millions of dollars. I have, like, so far raised less than $1,000, I think. So the money is a big part of it, especially when you take super PAC money like all these big name politicians do. But the other part of it is the party, it congeals around a candidate to protect them from any kind of threat. And that's something you can't do anything about, but you have to figure out ways to outmaneuver them. You have to use social media. You have to get out there to people, not just in, you know, Albany and Troy, but you have to create a small donation infrastructure that's nationwide, like AOC and Jamal Bowman have done, you know. So if you look at where AOC gets her money, she's not only getting it from Queens or just from New York City. She's getting it from every state in the union, right? So so that's the approach that you have to have in order to outmaneuver this type of entrenched local politics.
Now, Paul Tonko's district is more than Albany County. How are things in other counties? Are the Democrats as entrenched in other counties as they are in Albany?
Well, it's hard for me to speak to that because I haven't participated too much in local politics, but from what I have seen, it does seem like that. So one of the issues I care deeply about is saving the Pine Bush Preserve, which is located in Guilderland and Colony and Albany. I went to a council hearing in Guilderland about some construction that they are planning on doing and bulldozing parts of the Pine Bush in order to, at that time they were trying to make way for a senior center. You know, I mean, senior centers are great, right? But you don't have to bulldoze a natural wonder to put a senior center in the capital region. We have space, right? So, but even though there were many people who came to that meeting and spoke in opposition of the development project, the council members voted unanimously in order to allow it to go forward. So that kind of, I think, when you're in one of those meetings, it kind of exposes who has the real power, who are there to protect the environment or to say, oh, we want to save the Pine Bush Preserve. It's the people who have the money to build a senior center who donate to these politicians. So I think, you know, it happens at every level, and you're not going to be able to change it overnight. I think there are some really good policy changes you can do, though. For example, term limits is a huge one. So New York City actually has term limits for city council members, and that has worked wonders in terms of allowing young people and people of color, minorities to run for office and actually win. We need to bring, I think, term limits to all levels of government all across the country. And that's another thing that Paul Tonko has been on the record opposing. He opposes term limits because, I mean, obviously, why would you want term limits when you're very happy with your job and you don't want to ever leave? Yeah, but that would be a really good start. The other thing I think that could help is getting more people out to vote, because right now what ends up happening is we have a lot of voters. We have very low turnout, right? So whenever we have elections, it's just a really small group of voters who end up deciding on the candidate. It's not even worth participating in the system. It would be much better if we had like 80 or 90% voter turnout. It sounds like a dream, right? But you can motivate people to vote. I mean, I would be perfectly fine with giving every voter who comes and votes a $20 government check just for voting, you know? And that way you get the people who really might not bother coming out. Now they're like, oh, I want to get my $20. I'll go vote. And in that way, you increase turnout.
Back in the day in the city of Albany, there used to be a $5 handout. Everybody who went to the polls would get $5. And what you're saying is kind of a throwback to that time. And even back then when it was $5, it was pretty controversial. Don't you think talking about handing out $20 to everybody who wants to vote, don't you think that's kind of a form of bribery?
No, well, I think back in the old days, there was a lot of ballot stuffing and dirty politics and things like that when the party machine controlled everything, right? I don't think it's a form of bribery because you're not telling people who to vote for. I mean, it would be a form of bribery if you said you'll only get $20 if you vote for the Democratic candidate, or you only will get $20 if you vote for the Republican candidate. Or maybe, you know, if you are very nefarious, you'll say, well, only people in, say, a colony will get $20, but people in Albany are not going to get $20 because you want cross-section of the population who's more likely to vote, for example, for the Republicans or for an establishment candidate to be more represented. So it definitely can be used to skew the results, but if it's done in a way that is evenly distributed, that goes to every part and every section of the community, and it is not contingent on which candidate a voter chooses, then I don't see how it is a form of bribery at all.
So have you personally met Tonko?
Not yet. No, I'm still looking forward to the day. You know, so one thing that I will say, this is something I always say, is regardless of how this campaign goes, meaning, you know, regardless of whether we win the primary or Paul Tonko wins the primary, I will support him in the general election, and not just support him, but I will work hard to make sure that he gets reelected. You know, the last anyone that I know wants to see is to have a Republican congressperson represent this area, especially a Republican congressperson who supports Donald Trump and his policies, I think would be taking a huge step backwards. So I understand the people who say, well, Paul Tonko is a safe choice, or he's someone that has shown a track record of winning against Republicans, and that's fair. But I think to them I say, first of all, you have to remember the Capital Region is a very Democratic area, and we can have a even more liberal congressperson representing it. So basically, I think regardless of the other point I wanted to make is that I feel like this year Paul Tonko is in jeopardy of losing his seat because Liz Joy, she's a young upstart politician who is very savvy with media, with social media, has a lot of support from Fox News and the Republican Party, who pumped up in a lot of money to her campaign. So they really feel like this is their opportunity, especially in this midterm election where Joe Biden is very unpopular, to swing this district. And unless Paul Tonko can get the people who are participating in our campaign, primarily young people, minorities. If he can't get those people to turn out for him in big numbers, he's not going to win. And so for that reason, I think in a way, running this campaign, challenging him in the primary, I'm doing him a favor, because I'm going to help him if he ends up winning in the primary.
You know, there's talk about the fact that the Democrats might lose the majority in the House in 2022. So let's say you ran, you beat Tonko in the primary, and you become a next congressperson. There's a possibility you might be governing from the minority. So what do you think about that?
Well, I think in a way, regardless of whether the Republicans or the Democrats take power in Congress, we will be so the people that I would align most closely with are in so many ways in the minority. So take, for example, the Green New Deal. You know, this campaign is one that is pushing for the Green New Deal and carbon neutrality by 2030. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat. I mean, I guess most Republicans say it doesn't matter, because most Republicans say, well, global warming isn't even real, which is I just can't believe that anyone would say that or think that. But most Democrats are aligned pretty closely to the 2050 timeframe that Paul Tonko supports. So going to Congress, being elected to Congress as as someone who wants to reform and make meaningful changes, is going to be always an uphill battle. But I think it kind of goes back to how I view this, the job of being an elected official. You know, I understand that it's a big privilege to be an elected official, but I think that you really have to view yourself as a public servant. And so when you're an elected official, you're there to serve people, and that doesn't mean that you're always going to get your way. You're going to serve your constituents regardless of how much pushback and how much uphill fighting you have to undertake. A lot of what I see in establishment politics is that establishment politicians, they use language like, they'll say, I'm going to fight tirelessly for this, or I'm going to work so hard you've never seen me work. But then in reality, they don't actually do that. I see very few politicians who, you know, on Christmas, I think, for example, AOC went live on Instagram. Like, that's the kind of dedication that I think this new crop of young people who want to be involved in government are showing. We're showing that, you know, we're actually, when we say we're going to work tirelessly, we are actually going to work tirelessly. And it's not just words for us, it's action.
A congressional candidate can run in any part of the state. So you could run in any district. It seems as though Antonio Delgado is a little bit further to the right than maybe Tonko is. When you were making the decision to run for Congress, did you ever give any thought to primarying Delgado?
I didn't, because his district, as it's currently drawn, isn't a district that I am familiar with. You know, going back to what I was saying earlier in the podcast, like I went to high school in Niskayuna. I went to college in SUNY Albany. I worked in the state legislature in the capital in Albany for 6 years.
Okay.
I'm really familiar with, you know, Schenectady, with Albany, with Niskayuna, with the capital region. I'm not as familiar with Delgado's district. So, but if, I mean, if the districts were redrawn in a way that would, you know, put Paul Tonko somewhere over in Amsterdam and Delgado suddenly had Albany, then that definitely would change things. And then I would have to look at the maps and consider, is this a district that I feel like I know, or that, if I don't know it completely, can I get to know it quickly enough to make the decision to run?
We're almost out of time. So for everybody listening, why don't you give your contact information and, you know, whether they want to donate money to you, whether they want to volunteer on your campaign. How could they contact you?
Yes, thank you so much for asking. So first of all, our website is rarforcongress.com, R-A-R for Congress, F-O-R, congress.com. So you can look up contact info, all that there. We recently launched an internship program. So you'll find also, for example, on Twitter, or I will soon post it on the website as well, an internship form. If you're interested in committing like 10 or 15 hours a week of your time to helping out with the campaign, you can become an intern. So we're really excited to roll that out. And last but not least, I always give my phone number. It's 518-596-3293. So this is a real grassroots campaign, and I feel like anyone should be able to call me and talk to me and ask me questions, and I'm happy to have that conversation.
So anybody who wants to volunteer on your campaign who's going to college can volunteer and get college credits for what for volunteering. Is that right?
That's right. Yes, that's right. So high school, college, and even if you're older than college age or you decided not to go to college, you can still volunteer or intern. So basically volunteering means you don't have a specific set time commitment. If you're a volunteer, you can do whatever you want. If you're an intern, you have, you know, 10 to 15 hours a week. So right now we're at a stage in the campaign where we're trying to add more structure to it. So having a time commitment is really useful to creating continuity.
Wow. We're out of time. So you've been listening to Rastislav Slava Rar, and he's going to primary Paul Tonko for Congress. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Thank you, Slava. It's been great talking with you, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays. Bye.